Capital Radio. This is Brian Rust welcoming you to another Mardi Gras, our carnival of the best in vintage popular music and all that jazz. Happy listening. Well, this week marks the 43rd anniversary of the death at the age of 28 of Leon Bix Beiderbecke, one of the most gifted and certainly one of the most revered figures in the story of jazz. Last autumn I broadcast a short selection of records he'd made, but I've had a number of requests to repeat the program, so this seemed a suitable opportunity to do just that. The man they all knew as Bix was born on March the 10th, 1903, in Davenport, Iowa, and his early life seems to have been conventionally middle class, though he was rather a rebel as a pupil at school and at Lake Forest Academy, from which he was expelled after less than a year. He would slip away out of bounds to play his beloved cornet in a jazz band, following the inspiration of hearing the original Dixieland Jazz Band's records, with another rebel, Nick LaRocca, playing self-taught cornet. Original Dixieland Jazz Band's 1918 record of Fidgety Feet. When Bix was 20, he had joined a band of youngsters who thought and played as he did, a band called the Wolverine Orchestra. On February the 18th, 1924, they made their first records in the Star Piano Company studios in Richmond, Indiana, and amongst them was their version of Fidgety Feet. Thank you. Wolverine's made other records in the same studio and in New York for the same company during their season at the Cinderella Ballroom there. The young Bix, however, was full of ambition to make the big time, and after a rather unsatisfactory start with Gene Goldkett's Great Orchestra in November 1924, and short periods with Charlie Straight's band in Chicago, and Frankie Trumbauer's at Hudson Lake under Goldkett's management, both Bix and Trumbauer joined the number one Gene Goldkett band, recording for Victor arrangements by Bill Challis such as Sunday. The vocal is good for a giggle, but the musicianship of the band with Bix in the brass section is something that has rarely been equalled. Sunday by Gene Goldkett and his orchestra, with vocal chorus by the Keller Sisters and Lynch. And I'll be back with some more after the break.
This is what happens when top cop Gil Burke meets the syndicate in Mickey Spillane's new thriller, The Last Cop Out. If you want to know what else happens, read it. The Last Cop Out by Mickey Spillane in Corgi paperbacks. Get it now.
Welcome back to Mardi Gras. While with Gene Goldkett, Bix, Frankie Trumbauer, the most prominent hot saxophonist of the time, and other Gene Goldkett men, plus Eddie Lang on guitar, made a number of delightful records for OK under Trumbauer's name. The first session, on February the 4th, 1927, produced Singing the Blues, another tune from the original Dixieland repertoire, with a lyrical solo by Bix on cornet that other jazz musicians have even copied note for note. Thank you. Becks, Frank Trumbauer, Eddie Lang and friends singing the blues. Much the same band made a classic jazz performance 3 months later in the same studios when they recorded I'm Coming Virginia. It was only another pop song of 1927 until Becks and the Gold Kit Men stamped it with the indelible seal of their supremacy. Coming Virginia. But Becks was not bound by his work in a commercial dance band, even one as superb as Gene Goldkett's, to play just popular tunes of the day. And on September the 9th, 1927, he went into the OK Studios in New York and recorded a Debussy-like piece of his own, known variously as Becksology and more usually as In a Mist. It was a piano solo, full of strange harmonies and contrasts. Thank you. In A Mist, or Vixology, the only record Bix ever made is a piano solo from start to finish. And we're back with some more Bix after the break.
Hello, and tonight in the Pepsi studio, we're interviewing a pack of cards. What has Pepsi done for you?
Oh, listen, I used to be very antisocial, played patience all the time. When I met people, I used to shuffle about, get hot flushes.
And Pepsi changed that?
Oh, listen, one taste of Pepsi, I got myself a couple of new suits, opened a string of clubs, won a few hearts.
So Pepsi made you popular?
Oh, listen, nowadays I've always got a full ass. Know what I mean?
Lip smack and purse, quench and ace, tasting good, and making good, but some cool talking high, walking past, living ever. Give a cool fizz in Pepsi.
Welcome back to Mardi Gras. Bix had recorded piano choruses on one of the old Wolverine records and did two numbers with only Trumbauer and Lang, and he loved to sit at the piano and allow his imagination to wander freely. If only more of those wanderings could have been recorded by the master himself. However, a week later, he did record again on Cornet with the full Goldkett band and Eddie Lang for the last time before it broke up. One of the titles they made was just another pop song, but Bix and his colleagues made it into another jazz classic, Clementine. Goldkett's Clementine. After the great Goldkett band had dispersed, several of its members, Bix included, joined Adrian Rollini, the greatest bass saxophonist in jazz, and his band at a short-lived club called the New Yorker. The first trumpet was the great Sylvester Ahola, who recalls meeting Bix for the first time. Bix described himself as a musical degenerate. A specimen of this degeneracy was recorded under Bix's name on October the 5th, 1927, with Bill Rank on trombone, Adrian Rollini on bass sax, Frank Signorelli on piano, and Chauncey Morehouse on drums, all from the New Yorker band, with ex-Goldkett clarinet man Don Murray. Yet again, Bix returned to the original Dixieland repertoire of 6 years before and made Jazz Me Blues.
Thank you.
Bicks and some of the New Yorker men, jazz me blues. When the Rollini Band lost its position at the New Yorker when it closed after only 6 weeks, Bicks, Frank Trumbauer, and eventually Bill Rank joined Paul Whiteman's huge band, the best-known American dance orchestra of the time. Their first recording with the complete Whiteman organization took place in Chicago in the Victor Studios on November the 23rd, 1927, and the title was a slightly offbeat number by Walter Donaldson called Changes. The solo vocal part was sung by Whiteman's new discovery, Bing Crosby.
Listen, I forgot, since he was a tot, he's been the talk of Dixieland.
Whiteman and his orchestra with Bix Beiderbecke on cornet and Bing Crosby singing, Changes. Bill Challis provided many arrangements for Whiteman, always with Bix in mind. Much of the time these were of more Tin Pan Alley songs, but early in 1928 the Victor Company decided to remake a Whiteman that had originally been made by the old horn recording system back in 1924, San. Bill Challis wrote this hot arrangement with Bix as one of the trumpets and Min Leebrook doing his best to follow Adrian Olini's example on bass sax. He'd play with Bix in the Wolverines. There's a splendid sense of togetherness in this great recording.
Thank you.
by Paul Whiteman's orchestra, or at any rate nine of the full 34-piece band. Bix, though still devoted to basic jazz, was also intensely interested in modern concert music, and by 1928 he'd improved his cornet-playing technique to the point where he could cope with the problems of the solo part of George Gershwin's Concerto in F. This, with Bix playing from the score magnificently in the second movement, was recorded by the entire Paul Whiteman Orchestra with the great Roy Bargy at the piano. Slow movement of George Gershwin's Concerto in F, played by Paul Whiteman and his orchestra, with Roy Bargy at the piano. We'll be back with some more Bix after the break.
The summer winds.
For those who go down to the sea in ships, there's always the promise of adventure and discovery. This is the true story of Robin Graham's attempt to sail around the world alone.
Gregory Peck presents Joseph Bottoms as the boy who set sail in the Dove. Deborah Raffin is the girl who fell in love with the man who came back. Don't miss the Dove, Certificate A, still all over London at ABC and other leading cinemas.
What you got in your sarnies then, Charlie?
What day is it?
Wednesday. In that case, it's probably potted grass. I'll get pheasant Mondays, smoked salmon Tuesdays, Keisha rain Thursdays. What you got?
Quails in aspic, again. Can I interest you in some of my whitbread parlau?
Whitbread parlau? That's very civil of you, Bill Char. How's your quails?
So-so. How's your grass?
Oh, they're worse cheers.
Whitbread pale ale. Light ale with a bit more class.
This is Capital Radio Record Break.
Oh, look, there's Eddie. He looks great.
Hey, look, he's got a shirt like mine.
Eddie and the Falcons!
Introducing Eddie and the Falcons, the new album from Wizard. Don't forget their new single, This Is the Story of My Love, Baby, from Warner Brothers.
Welcome back to Mardi Gras. In January 1929, Bix was taken seriously ill and left the Paul Whiteman Band temporarily. And on his return, he continued to record as before, among the numbers made under Trumbauer's name being one that was issued in England, but not in America. No One Can Take Your Place. Trumbauer's No One Can Take Your Place, and prophetic title, with Bix on muted cornet. And by contrast, on the same session, the jazz-minded members of Paul Whiteman's orchestra made I Like That. It was the last title ever made by Bix under Trumbauer's name. Like That, recorded on April 30th, 1929 in New York. A few weeks later, the Whiteman Band set off for Hollywood to make the film King of Jazz. Difficulties developed, and in the late summer, the band returned to New York without having made the film or any records. When it resumed recording, Bix was obviously in very poor health again. He collapsed after recording a solo on a commercial title on Friday the 13th of September, 1929, and was sent home to Davenport by Whiteman himself. He never rejoined the band, which went back to Hollywood, filmed King of Jazz, and soon after its return to New York in April 1930, it was reduced in size as the effects of the Wall Street disaster were felt throughout the world. A 34-piece band was no longer an economic possibility. Bix, somewhat restored to health, began picking up record dates and short engagements as best he could. One date was with Irving Mills' Hotsy Totsy gang, with Jack Teagarden on trombone, Benny Goodman on clarinet and others, and it produced Strut Miss Lizzie, yet another original Dixieland title.
I wanna see you walk, for the folks all see the way you think of face is the whole town talk. When you move so pretty, it's a pity the other girl is frown. But the men you meet like the way you shake your feet. Oh, you knock them dizzy, strut Miss Lizzie Brown. Go down the street by the school, pat your feet, you strutting fool. Strut your stuff by the church, trot your tootsies by the church, through the alley, dodge the cams, shake Miss Ellie's pots and pans, cool your dog when coming through, it's that poor Lenox Avenue.
Bix's friend Hoagy Carmichael invited him to play on some record dates, and in September 1930, Bix made some sides with himself as nominal leader. They were among his last. Overwork, emotional strain and drinking problems had weakened him to the point where a severe cold turned rapidly to pneumonia and there was no resistance left. Here is one of those last records, just another commercial song that has lived because Bix played it. Deep Down South.
Thank you.
if you'd like to know more about Bix Beiderbecke, you should on no account miss a book just published in America called Bix, Man and Legend by Richard Sudhalter, a fine jazz trumpet player himself and a devotee of Bix. Well, won't you join me next week, on Sunday week, that is, at our new time, for some more happy listening? Don't forget, Sunday night at 11:30. Till then, this is Brian Rust saying good night from Mardi Gras, our carnival for best in vintage popular music and all that jazz.